Thank you, Murray and team. God is great, and he is worthy of our praise. This morning we have a neat opportunity. We kind of, next week is kickoff. Last week Dennis kind of wrapped things up, so we had a week kind of in between, and it just worked out perfectly that we could take a Sunday and just talk about what God was doing in Tijuana this summer. As I mentioned before, we've been planning this for about 2 years, and as the video will show, the next one's already on the calendar. So you can already be praying about it. But we've been talking about this for a long time, TJ 15, and just another opportunity for us to go down to Tijuana, Mexico, and to connect with YWAM and Homes of Hope and a variety of ministries that we've built partnerships with over the years. This is the third time that LFC has gone down. And we connected again with Principe de Paz and Pastor Jesus there and enjoyed a wonderful morning of worship and fellowship with him and his church. It's just an amazing time. As we've built those relationships, these times become more and more valuable each time, especially some of those that have gone on, I think, every trip. Randy, at least, and a couple of others have been on several of these trips already. And you start to build a sense of community. You start to build relationships with people down there. And it starts to become more an extension of ministry of what we're doing and not just an isolated event. So it's really neat that we were able to go and do that. August 10th to 21st, we were down there. We spent a bunch of time working with YWAM and Homes of Hope. YWAM has a wonderful presence in Tijuana. And what we want to do when we do a short-term trip like this, it can be easy to feel like you just kind of drop in and are gone, and what kind of impact did we really have? And so what we try to do is to come alongside of ministries that YWAM is working with and running themselves, because we want to be a part of what God is doing in Tijuana. He's already there, as we talked about before we went. Jesus is present there. The church is present and moving powerfully in Tijuana. And so it's a privilege that we can go and see and be a part of what they're doing and encourage them, bring some energy into what they're doing. But before I get going way too long already, we want to start with just a couple of stories. We had three teams that our church was directly involved with. We had a building team that went and built one of the houses that we provided there. We had a team that worked in an area called Zona Norte, as well as other areas. And we had a team that did some street ministry and some work in an orphanage as well. So we're going to have a representative from each of those teams come up and share just a little bit about what they did, about what we did, and about what God was doing kind of in Tijuana through us while we were there. So we're going to start with Mr. Andrew Brander, and he's going to come up and share with you a little bit this morning.
Hello, I am Andrew Brander. I was on one of the build teams, and we built a house. The house build took about 2.5 days. The first 2 days was just straight building. We got it done really fast, actually. So the third day, it was pretty relaxed. We were just spending time with the family, and it was a family of five. The father was working the first 2 days, so we didn't meet him actually until the third day. But the mom and the three little girls, they were helping us build, and they were just with us there. And it was just a really cool experience to be able to talk with them like as much as possible. They spoke Spanish, obviously, but yeah, it was just a really cool experience to be with this other family, spending time with them, and it's just a whole different culture, and that was just cool in itself. But the thing that was really cool with the house build was, on the third day, we do this thing, it's called the key ceremony. We all get in a circle, and we pass around the keys to the house, and we just say words of encouragement to the family. We were all pretty much just thanking the family for letting us be there. And it was just so cool because not only, like, was the family getting something out of this, we, as the group building, probably got even more out of it. It was just such a blessing to be able to have been there, and just, it was just an amazing experience of God's presence, just to see how beautiful his plans are for us, and just how great it is when a group of believers can come together and just be in his love. And yeah, it was just really cool. Everyone was crying, and it was such a great thing for everyone involved. And yeah, that was pretty much the most impactful thing for me. Nicole.
Hi, I'm Nicole Karaberg. You might know me from LFC Worship. I was part of the Zona Norte group, and I'm going to be telling you really quick what we did, because we did a lot of stuff. The Zona Norte area of Tijuana is basically, it's the north zone, so it's where a lot of crime is overlooked. So there's stuff like sex trafficking and drugs that goes on there. And so the first thing that you need to know about that is that there's quite a few homeless people there, and that's because a lot of them were deported for minor crimes in the U.S., so the rest of their family is still in the U.S. The first day, we went and we made bunk beds, and we made them for this homeless shelter, and they were pretty sketchy bunk beds. They were three high, and we made them from, like, scratch, but even though they were, like, so rickety and they didn't seem like they meant a lot, we talked to quite a few homeless people, and you could tell how much it meant to them. What else do we do? We went to a soup kitchen, and we served the homeless people there, and we gave out food, and I was one of the people who was dishing the food out, and it was really hot in there, and we had to wake up at 4:30 a.m. to go to a mass ceremony. So that was pretty rough, but you could just tell how much the people, it meant to them, because there was just, they would go out the door and they would say thank you, and they seemed so grateful, and it was really worth it to be waking up that early and to be in that hot kitchen for so many hours, and it was just so impactful to see how God is there. We painted a homeless shelter, and we only had a bit of paint, so they had to go out and get more paint, and it was a lot dirtier than the other homeless shelters we've been to. It was kind of rough to see how, like, the homeless people there, they didn't really have beds. They slept on, like, almost lawn chairs, sort of, and we didn't really get to talk to many of the homeless people there. But the one thing that maybe, like, impacted me the most was they had this thing called Zone Kids, which we went to on the last day, and it was started when the founder of it, she was walking through the red light zone, and she found a mother who was prostituting her six-year-old. And so they decided, what can they do? And eventually it led to this thing that they run in the park called Zone Kids. And they have quite a few kids that come there, and they play games, and they teach them things. And we got to give out backpacks that had school supplies. And the school uniforms there, they're $60. So it's quite a lot for families who are very poor. And so when you give them school supplies, it's like one less thing that they have to worry about. And it was really great to see. I was doing chalk with this five-year-old, and her name was Kitsia. And I walked up to her, and I said, "Do you speak English?" And she went. And so it's so cool to see how the kids there, they're so smart. Like, she's, like, 4 or 5 years old, and she knows Spanish and English. I was trying to learn some Spanish, and I picked up a piece of chalk, and I said, "What color is this?" And she looks at me like I'm stupid, and she goes, "Pink." And I'm not much of a person who is really good with kids, but, when I was there, one day we went and we walked through the red light zone, which was kind of this strip where a lot of what I was talking about, like drugs, goes on, and we were giving out toothpaste with little messages on them, and so I took toothpaste, and I tapped this kid on the shoulder. He was maybe about, like, six, and I gave it to him, and he kind of was really shy, and he was like, "Thank you," and then I walked away, and I looked behind me, and he was looking at his mom, and he was going, "Yes, look, yes," and that's kind of, it's really inspiring, but it's also really heartbreaking, because when was the last time that, like, your kids were so excited about toothpaste? Like, it seems like such a simple thing, but to them it means so much. And to see in Zone Kids, the thing that we were trying to accomplish that day, they were teaching them to dream big. Because when you're in a place like that, it's easy to fall into the pattern that your parents are in, maybe. And so teaching them that you can be a doctor or a pilot or anything you want, it's so important because those are the kids who are going to be the next generation. And it's so impactful to see that there's hope in a place where you would think that there's only destruction. And so, yeah, that's mostly what I have to say.
Good morning. I was one of the handful of adults that got to go on this trip, and although this has been my second missionary missions trip, this is my first out of the country, and so I was with a ministry group that had Caroline in it, and my daughter, and some other people from both Central and Northgate, and I felt that the teaching that we received was amazing, not to lessen any of the experiences we had in the communities. We worked in orphanages, migrant camps, VBS. We did door-to-door ministry. We prayed for people spontaneously. Lots of ways that we came alongside people in ministries that were already pre-existing. But the teaching was amazing. And the one thing that keeps coming to my mind is this: break my heart for what breaks yours, Lord. And on before we even entered into any of the missions, we had a night where every night we had teaching. Praise and worship was amazing. We went into stages of teaching and ministry to each other. And it was so rich. But the one night that stood out to me, and we divided into groups, and Owen Burkholdt said to me, he said, "I don't know if you can do this," he said. And I'm like, whatever. Like, I wasn't prepared for what was going to happen. We went into, we divided into these groups, and we went into this house, and we walked in, and there was this guy slapping around this woman, and there was money being exchanged, and we're like, what's going on? Like, this is crazy. And people are yelling and fighting, and it was awful. And we walked down the stairs, and there was this, like, this person laying on the floor in this bucket full of ice that had blood in it, and this person was being cut open. And in another room, there was a child that was wrapped in a blanket that was crying because they didn't know what to do. And it was so impactful to all of us. I think that if we all could have just dropped to our knees right there in absolute brokenness of how that felt of the injustice in the world and the high sex trafficking and human trafficking, not only in Mexico, but in the world and also beginning in Canada, that we as Christians have this huge responsibility to be praying, number one, because evil will always prevail in the world, but not only do, lots of people end up in sex trafficking and human trafficking because there's broken relationships at home. There's kids that are abducted right from streets. And when we went into these ministries, into the migrant camp, it was right through a trucking route. And you see these little kids, and they have nothing, and they seem like they're hopeless. It's such an industry fueled by greed and evil that we just have such a responsibility to be aware of it, to be praying for it, and to be really taking in kids and people that you see that are broken around you, and to take a responsibility of parenting and kindness towards these situations. But I was just so impressed by the teaching and the fullness of every day. We had two sessions, and it was worship and teaching, and how that worship and leads to opening the door for prayer and hearing God's voice, and how we experience firsthand hearing God's voice. In like the last day, the teacher said to us, you know, pray. What's God going to show you? You have to pray and see what God's going to give you for ministry this day. And we're like, okay, well, we really don't know what's going on, but we're just going to be obedient. And And it was funny because Caroline, she seen slats and things, blinds all week long, and I think she thought she was maybe losing it a little bit there. And when it came to pass, we ended up going in this ministry that was at Tijuana del Plata, which is a beach kind of area by Tijuana. And there's like this boardwalk, slats, 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 and all against the wall, like iron slats. It was like Slat City. And she's wondering, what is she seeing? And then another girl seen a boat and a lighthouse. And all of a sudden, it just like, it was like so powerful. It was like, okay, we got to go there. So we packed up goods and stuff. And we're prepared to be so spontaneous with our ministry. And ended up doing ministry to people under the boardwalk that felt so without hope. And just to give them water and to say, you know what? God loves you. And it was just amazing. And you know what? Even though we spoke English and they spoke Spanish, we were still able to resonate God's love in that whole experience. And getting to know the Mexicans that were amongst us, it wasn't just us people that were in this ministry opportunity. We had a lot of local Mexican kids, and I really seen all our kids take such an initiative to befriend them, to love them, and I think we ended up with more than what they ended up with. This wasn't about them. This was about us. And because God's already working there. And YWAM is awesome. They are an amazing, reputable organization that just is full of God's love and spirit. And it was an amazing opportunity. I am really proud of everybody that went and how we grew together. And getting to know Marvin, who I thought was Bob for like 2 weeks. And like just all these people, Dean, watching Dean just grow and Aaron, and like it was just amazing. Nicole and Nadia, who's our natural born leader, like I mean she kept us all organized in our room, and Carolyn mothered everybody, and we were good. You know, God really looked after us, so it was awesome. It was awesome.
Thank you. It's now the event that she was describing, where there was people being cut open and things, that was something that YWAM put on for us as an experience. We weren't walking through something like that. It was part of what they call their Justice Night, and that's something that Judd and I have really wanted to be a part of our experience, because it exposes us as a team to some of the realities of sex trafficking, human trafficking, human organ trafficking is actually becoming one of the most dangerous and powerful forms of trafficking in the world, because it's easy compared to moving a whole person. So some very powerful things that we saw there. These are just three of the testimonies. I wish we could have everyone from our team come up here and share stories of what they saw, what God was doing in their hearts, what God did through us as a team. It's powerful to be able to hear those things. But we wanted to give you just a little bit of a taste of what each of our ministries specifically did, and give you a little bit of a picture of what that looked like. But now we're going to show you a little bit of a video. And again, even in the video, it'll show you some pictures of some of the places that we were. You'll see pictures of the homeless shelter that Nicole was describing, with the lawn chairs where they sleep on, of the street ministry, of the recovery center that our team went to. But you're not going to have a lot of context for a lot of these pictures. But I allow them to just give you a taste of the kind of people that we were meeting, the kind of places that we were working, and just show you a little bit of what God was doing there. So if we can watch that. Amen. God is good. You commissioned us as a team. We were an extension of you as Leduc Fellowship Church, and so your presence was there just as much through us. We had talked about this trip for a long time. We raised funds through this, through Advent Conspiracy and things, and this church supported us overwhelmingly. We raised close to $10,000. For the house and for the projects that we did and the kinds of things. Your presence was there through us. I'm sure many of you have gone on a trip like this before, been to a place and experienced in the short term the kinds of things that we experienced here. And if you have, you know how difficult it can be to communicate what you saw, what you experienced, the people you met, the relationships you built, even in that short time. One of the things I think Catherine mentioned, one of the things that we did again this year, I think it was the second time, we invited a group of Mexican students. What we did is called the Mission Adventure Program. And it's a structure that YWAM has, that a program that they've built that allows us to walk through things really smoothly. And for the second time in a row now, we invited a group of Mexican students to come and join us on this experience. So we had our team from Leduc, from Northgate, from Central, and from Mexico as well. And they came from ministries that YWAM was connected with. A chunk of those students came from Principe de Paz and their student ministry there. It is incredible to be able to serve alongside these young people in their own city, in their own context. Many of them, the houses that they're coming from, we built, you saw pictures of the house that we built, and the Mexican students were on that build team with us, helping us build that house. And the houses that they were going back to, many of them, most of them, are similar to the houses that were, the house that was torn down to put our Homes of Hope house on. And they were there to be God's hands and feet, blessing this family. Through the video, I hope you caught just a little bit of the dissonance that exists on a trip like this. There were points where we were laughing harder than I would have thought possible, as we were doing ridiculous things, as we were just having fun together, enjoying one another. And then in the next moment, you are seeing some of the most devastating, heartbreaking things that you can imagine. And those two things exist side by side. It is a bizarre experience, but there is something so heavy about what we are doing there, about what God is doing there, about what is there in Tijuana. And yet there is something so joyful at the same time. And as we kind of struggled, as I guess, struggled to process that, I've done this a number of times. This is, I think, my seventh or eighth trip leading these kinds of things. And every time I come away with something different. God speaks in a different way. I'm challenged by something different. This time, for me, it was more of a phase of life experience, as I have my own young children. My three little girls, 4, 2, and 6 months. And to see what the children in that country were living in. As Nicole described, some of the darkest and most evil things you can imagine in Zona Norte, in the red light district. Children live there. And more. And we are doing children's ministry. And it was just, my brain had trouble doing that because we're doing similar games and songs to what we do in our classrooms here. But the context that these kids are coming from is unimaginable. And it can seem overwhelming when we see that kind of evil, when we look it in the face and are forced to confront it. It can be difficult for us to feel like there's any kind of impact that we can have. But I want to turn with you this morning to Luke chapter 4. And we're going to read something that Jesus said, or something that Jesus read, I guess, a little bit more. And this was the key for me as we were struggling through this experience. Luke chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 14. And we'll read down through verse 21. Jesus is just beginning his ministry, and he's kind of coming to announce that he's beginning. He comes back to Nazareth, so his hometown, his home area. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Let's read that passage from Isaiah again. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, for recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus came to bring good news to the poor. He came to bring freedom. He came to bring healing. He came to proclaim God's goodness, God's favor upon the world. He has come. He has done it. "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," he says. We are living in a new reality. The kingdom of God is here. And we get to be a part of building it. For me, this time, as we were there, as we were seeing these things, as we were doing these things, as we were part of these ministries, that was the part that I had to come back to, because it was overwhelming. It is overwhelming. The need is overwhelming. The structures that exist that cause poverty, the factors that are involved in that, each individual person is hurting and they need help. And that is something we can do. I mean, there are so many families in Tijuana that need a house. Does it make a difference if we give one or two or three? I don't know. The overall structural, socioeconomic, big global geopolitical factors, I can't control any of that. I don't know, but we can make a difference to one family. We can change their life forever. And this family had three little girls, just like I do. And that, to me, mattered. I thought, I can give these little girls a house with a door that locks. They can feel safe. With a floor that's concrete so they can be clean and healthy. To take that pressure off of their family so that they can afford to go to school, buy food. The big picture stuff, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what our responsibility is. We probably have a big one. But we can make a difference in the lives of one person, one family. That we can accomplish, and we did. Together as a church, we did that. We went into some of these very difficult, very hard areas and saw some scary things. But we painted. We cleaned up. We showed them that God loves them. We showed them that these people have value. They don't need our pity. They don't even really need our charity. These are people with dignity and value. Each one of them made in the image of God. Loved by him. Every addict, every homeless person, every prostitute, every child. Loved by him. So much more deeply than we can possibly imagine. So deeply, in fact, that Jesus died for them. That they could have hope. That they could have life. And that is ultimately where I had to land when you see the scale of the problem. Not just in Tijuana. Here in Canada as well. That was part of our Justice Night in particular, was talking about human trafficking and things, not there, but here. A lot of the stories that we heard, a lot of the information that we were given was about human trafficking in Edmonton. The scale is incredible. We have no idea. It goes on completely beneath or above our notice, whichever you choose. They hide it well. But it is a huge problem. Young people being sucked into this world that destroys them. So what do we do? I don't know. There are little things that we can each do. Not necessarily for that issue, but what is God putting before you? If we are choosing to follow Jesus, if we have given our lives to him, then we have the Holy Spirit just like Jesus did. And we can do just like he did. We can do whatever we see God doing. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what he gives me to say. If we have the Spirit in our lives, we have that same opportunity and responsibility to be looking for what God is doing. Looking for how he's acting and putting our hands to that. By far the most important thing we can be doing is praying, though. Because regardless of the change that we want to bring, ultimately, these problems are beyond us. And the only thing that makes a difference is the cross. That is what we have to cling to, is ultimately there is justice. God will have justice. God has shown mercy. God has offered grace to everyone, from those that are suffering and those that are causing the suffering. Grace is available to them too. And we have to be praying for those oppressors as well, that God will bring them into freedom and life too. But ultimately, we have to trust that God is in control. None of this happens outside of his notice. He knows the numbers of hairs on each person's head, everyone in the whole world. He is there with them, weeping with them, loving them, desiring them to have that freedom and life that he offers. We're going to turn now to a time of taking communion together. And as we do that, I just want you to think and reflect on this freedom that God has offered us, but then the responsibility that comes with that to offer and show this freedom and life to others. This cross exists for everyone throughout all time, stretching back and stretching forward. Every person, Jesus died for them to free them from their sin, to bring them into the relationship that God had for them. And so as we celebrate that together this morning, pray that God will show you, that he will give you his eyes to see the need around you. Here in Leduc, in your neighbor's houses, at your workplace, wherever. That God will break your heart for what breaks his. That we will be motivated by something entirely different than the rest of the world. We see eternity. We see what really matters. That God would give us his heart to care for that. As you can see, there's crosses set up around the room. The way we do communion is we give you the opportunity to go as an individual, as a family, and you can take communion together there, pray together there. We have little sheets there that have a passage of scripture that you can kind of read through and be guided through the process. But as I said, pray for God's eyes, pray for God's heart. As we submit to him, as we embrace forgiveness, that he will show us how we can bring that to others. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, as we step into communion, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, God, that you are powerful. God, that these problems that are in our world, the evil that we see, the hurt that we see, is not beyond you. God, it is well within your control. And we thank you for that. Father, as we step forward and take communion, we just pray that you would break our hearts again for what breaks yours. Show us anew where you would have us serve. Where are you trying to build your kingdom? We want to be a part of it. Bring us into that, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can come forward as you feel led.